What up? Welcome back.
Welcome back, episode two.
Yeah. How's your week?
I have a question. Like, do you the hats that you wear?
Yeah.
Do you really care about that team, or you just like the look?
It's all everything in life is about how you look, is what I've come to know.
So we just did an entire session or episode
on insecurity.
On insecurity.
Yeah, I'm not insecure about that though. I just know.
If you own it, you don't have to be insecure.
You don't have
about
to be insecure about it. Yeah,
it's all about image.
I think that's smart.
Well, there you go. No, I was wrong last week on everything.
On everything. I tried to collect a hat from everywhere I go. I've been balding since I was 14. So,
but this is coming in.
This
nice.
Is coming in nice. Yeah, it's gravity. It just moved from up top to down low. Yeah. How's that work for you?
No comment.
No comment. Cool.
No comment.
Hey, today we're talking about qualities of a good man.
What hair?
Hair. Hair is a good man quality. Uh-huh. And I think that. I hate leadership books. I hate things like that because they're all the same. But I think that something helpful when it comes to like following leaders or following men or following whatever is looking at characteristics that you see in people that you admire, people that you respect, people that whatever. And from that going, those are characteristics or qualities that I either do or don't have. What do I do to get to that point?
Mm-hmm.
And so when you think of men that you want to follow, men that are good men in your life, men that you've got to watch, your dad, your son, like all these types of things that you get to learn from. What are good like characteristics that you look at as like, when I think of a good man, this is what I'm looking at?
Yeah. Well, I said this last week, I'm kind of stuck on this one idea in my head, and it's around identity. Like the number one characteristic of a man is he has to know who he actually is as God intended him to be. Because otherwise, every day he's trying to figure it out. Yeah. And he's usually trying to figure it out on other people or... Yeah. On his job, and then you see him like, okay, who am I supposed to be here? Who am I supposed to be there? And that guy's just not any fun to be around, let alone be married to.
Yeah.
Or it's called dad, right? So the number one thing that has to be resolved, and I would say this to dads out there, the number one thing you have to impress into your children is this is who you are, and it's not up for grabs. Nobody gets to say it. Nobody gets to take it from you, and don't give it away, right? Yeah. And that is your identity as God meant you and told you to be. And we have to keep on going back and looking at that every day. But when I look at the men that I go like, I would follow that person anywhere or I would hang with that person is they absolutely have this security about who they are. So that it's like all the things that spin everybody out, they don't get spun out about because it's like, I don't have to fight that battle. Right?
Yeah.
So they're not like, I have nothing to prove to my wife. I have nothing to prove to the guys at the gym. I like being at the gym because I like being at the gym, not because I'm trying to keep up with that dude over there. Or am I richer than that person over there? So the first thing I think the number one characteristic of a good man is he's absolutely secure in his identity in Christ.
That's awesome.
Right?
Yeah.
And if he's not that, it doesn't matter what else he does, because the rest of it is like, if it doesn't lean against, I know who I am and nobody gets to change that or, right? And then out of that, that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. Yeah. So there's security, but then the mission, he has a mission and purpose for his life out of his identity, right? Yeah. And so I think that the men that I don't want to be around, the men that I'm going like, man, sorry, he's your dad. Mm-hmm. There's this guy who's going around trying to figure it out every day. And you're like, dude, take a breath. Or like, it's like, why are you trying to be that?
Yeah.
As opposed to the man who goes like, That's not it for grabs. I'm good.
So when it comes to that, when it comes to that security, when we're looking at the Bible and what biblical masculinity looks like, where should we be looking for? Here's where we start working on that security, seeking God in that security. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like biblically, what does that look like?
Yeah. So the number one purpose of man or woman is to image God as if God were there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So God says, hey, I created you in my image, and I didn't just share my image with you. I also shared my authority. So rule. As if it was mine, because it is mine, but he shared his identity with us, and then he shared his creation with us and said, I want you to take care of it. So for you, you take care of tailoring these boys.
Yeah.
Okay? They're mine, but you take care of them like I would,
right?
So in order to do that, so I'm supposed to image God as a man. So what are the characteristics of God?
Yeah.
And so you just spend time learning God. Well, he does stuff like this. He says stuff like this. He hates stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then he really jumps in and gets involved with stuff like that. And that's what I want to be. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's great. So like right now I'm reading Psalms a lot and looking at this kind of recurring thing that I've looked at of God as a guardian.
Huh?
And it's really easy to go, okay, it's my job to then like keep everybody safe, which I don't actually think is helpful. And also my job is to then control the whole situation. So how do we take these characteristics of God and like actually apply them to, I'm doing this in a healthy, I think righteous is the right word. Like we're using what God said is right and good and true to pull these off. Does that make sense?
Yeah, unpack it a little bit more because I think it's really, really important that we're not doing it instead of God.
Right.
We're doing it with God.
Right.
Or and we're not doing it even for God. We're doing it with God. Yeah. So I'm going to raise these kids with God, all right? So stay close, stay yoked up with me, right? And let's figure this out together.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing, as opposed to what would God do in this situation? I don't know. The character of God that I'm trying to run after would do something like this. I'm going to be the kind of person Jesus is.
Yeah.
Okay? So if you don't really know what God's like, that's why he put flesh on and said, and walked around here for like 33 years or so. And went, and it goes like this. That's not the whole Sermon on the Mount. It's like, okay, I don't think like when he says turn the other cheek, he's saying become a pacifist and let everybody just punch you in the face over and over, right?
Yeah.
But if the kind of person that doesn't, God's patient, all right? And my sin slaps God in the face all the time.
Yeah.
If he slapped me back every time I slapped him, you know, metaphorically,
you look different.
Yeah, because I don't think I could survive a slap from God.
No,
because
no.
I'd be like, hey God, yeah. Go, bam.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay,
yeah,
he's now right.
Yeah.
So like the patience of God. Okay, dude, you slap me in the face, I could slap you back right now. I just don't want to be that to be my first response. Okay,
yeah.
or you know, it's again Sermon on the Mount. It's like, all right, somebody needs something from me. Okay, I also have to like go. Or was the best thing to give it to him or to help him? It's probably not just to ignore him. Because that's the character of God.
Yeah.
So, like, I when you said a guardian, okay, a guardian, you can guard your, the best way to guard your children is lock them in a closet and don't let anything get to them.
Right. Not helpful, though.
It's not helpful because, right, it's like, I don't want you to hurt, right? There is, I think it's the book of James that says, actually, hardship creates perseverance, and perseverance creates like endurance, and endurance gets you all the way to completion, right? Yeah. So it's like your job as a guardian is calculated risk and exposure for your boys.
Yeah.
All right?
My job is to make them strong, not safe. That's absolutely where I'm at in my head right now.
All right, so when we go to the gym, okay, hey, I'm going to try more weight than I've ever tried before. Don't do that without a spotter.
Yeah.
Okay? So it's a controlled risk and environment and controlled exposure. I'm going to push it because on the other end, it might get stronger. But I also need some protection so that it doesn't crush me. And, you know, 1 Corinthians 15, I believe, says that nothing will come on you that God won't provide you a way out or to stand up under it. Okay.
Yeah.
That's your job as a guardian for the people in your life, right? I'm just going to make sure you don't get crushed, but I'm not going to put, I'll give you an example. Okay. So this is a weird one. So like before I went to Crucible a few years ago, right? So I got some abuse in my past, right? When I was a kid. And I'm sitting on my back porch, and the story of Job came to mind, okay? Yep. And God actually brought Job up to the devil and says, look at, he loves me. He serves me, right? He said, yeah, because you put this protection around him, and nothing can touch him. Who doesn't love you if you're going to protect him all the time? Guardian, right? Yep. Right? God says, okay, touch him. The limits, you can't kill him.
Yep.
But God spread his fingers. Right? And Satan started jabbing, and he got sick, and he lost this, and he lost this, and lost this, okay? And at the end of the day, even Job, his friends were going like, dude, curse God and die. If God's going to spread his fingers and let stuff like that touch you, what kind of God is that?
Yep.
And Job held on. And at the end, God blessed him in great ways, okay? I'm sitting on my back porch, and I'm getting ready, I'm wrestling through all those questions because getting ready for like a men's retreat and stuff like that just stirs up all kinds of stuff, right? And I sat on my back porch, and I thought, and I think I've said this years ago, like if the only way, and you can't say this to a person in crisis.
No.
Okay. So no, please hear this. If you're in crisis, just go get a Coke or something, right? If the only way to get here, to be married to Robin, to have these kids and these grandkids and lead Flatirons and what God's put in front of me, if the only way to get here is to have what happened to me happen, I'd sign up again. Mm. Okay. Again, you can't tell anybody that in the middle of.
Doesn't mean that was good.
No.
Where it got you to.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely. I think that God keeps his promises and uses all things, even the bad things. Mm-hmm. He won't waste them in our life. And so when you're talking about the characteristics of a good man, it is, I know who I am, I know who God is, and whatever's happening in my life, somehow God's going to leverage that for what he's put in front of me. I couldn't be the pastor of this place. I couldn't lead strong men like you if I didn't have my history that I can sit there and go, I can understand.
Mm-hmm.
I understand. If I've been raised in this bubble or something like that, you're not going to follow me.
Mm-mm.
You know. But when I stand up there on stage and go, hey, I actually have a list of people that if Jesus gave me a pass, I'd stab him in the neck.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Can I get an amen? And the whole room goes, yeah, we all got something like that. It's like, okay, that's real.
Yeah.
I'm not proud of that. And I'm not camping on that.
Mm-mm.
But I'm just saying this is where I am right now. So I guess to go all the way back to the first question is what are the characteristics of a good man? First of all, I'm secure in my identity in Christ. I know who I am. All right. And my body and my sexual prowess or equipment.
Yeah.
Let's say that.
Yeah.
Or my bank account or my, whether you like me or not, you don't get to touch that.
Yeah.
Okay. I know who I am. Right. Now, some stuff's happened in my life. I'm still hanging on to God and my identity in Christ, and I'm going to leverage it. I'm going to leverage all the pain in my life for something good. Because the worst men in my life that I've ever seen have taken the pain of their life and leveraged it for something very different.
To hurt somebody else.
Hurt somebody else, yeah. Right? I had lunch the other day with a guy who, I can't even share his story. It's horrific. Horrific. And he goes, I tried to kill myself 2 times unsuccessfully. I was like, obviously.
Yeah. You're here.
You're here.
Yeah.
And it was like, that was because we had to break the tension. Stuff like that. But he started unpacking his story with me and all that. And that was when he was a kid. And when he got to high school and got shipped off to boarding school, he just wanted to hurt people, hurt people. And not just hurt them and knock them down, hurt them and then keep on hurting them till he ends up in jail.
Mm.
And he lived in another country at the time. And finally, he said, you got to get out of here. And they shipped to the United States. And in the green card process, he actually got engaged with Jesus.
Yeah.
And they said, if you're going to work on our farm, you've got to go to anger management and church. And that's where he found it. And now he's a great man, husband, father, but he has an empathy for hurt kids and angry men.
Yeah.
You know, that's a good man.
There's grace when you notice that you're capable of the same hurt, right?
That's what changed his life is before the last guy he shredded.
Yeah.
I mean, he loved to play like rugby.
Yeah.
Because it's basically, hey, for whatever the time frame is,
you can crush
anybody you want. You can dust them, right? Before he left, they took him to the hospital and they looked through the window at the guy who was in a coma. And he was bandaged up and mummified and all that. And he said he vomited in the hallway. This is the kind of person I have become.
Yeah.
And that got his attention, right? Now, everything would say, that's a bad man. And at that moment, maybe.
Yeah. He was doing bad things.
He was doing bad things, right? But God wasn't done with him yet.
Yeah.
And then through a lot of circumstances, somebody said, hey, there's a different identity available to you, and it's in God. And he actually leaned into that, found out who he was, got total grace and forgiveness, right? It took years.
Yeah.
This is not like he went to church one time, prayed a prayer, and boom, he wasn't angry anymore, right? It still pops his head up.
But what's interesting is he went to church, and because of that experience, because of what Jesus did through that, he now gets to lean into that security.
Yeah.
The church hasn't always been that.
I wouldn't even say church. Another man who knew who he was in God, had his own identity, right? Uh-huh. Had nothing at risk, cared for this guy.
Yeah.
So that's the church I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not talking about church service necessarily.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm talking about a person who represented God, because as an image bearer of God, I just bring God into a situation. This guy was a mess, and I don't blame his mess. His mess made sense. I'd be so angry, I'd beat everybody in sight, okay?
Yep.
But this man brought God into the situation, which is what imaging God is about. Yep. Started walking with him. That's the church I'm talking about.
Yeah, which is great. So how do men who are doing that, how do men who are secure in who God tells him that he is, how do they now, what should they be focusing on in the world? Because the world's completely botched.
Mm-hmm.
So how do men like that go, okay, now here's my next step
in
the world?
So the one thing you would say about God, this is the conversation that we had yesterday with this guy I was talking to. He goes, why in the world would Jesus even care about my situation? Because if I was him, I wouldn't.
Mm.
So I don't trust it. Okay. But Jesus did. God did.
Mm.
Okay. So if I'm imaging God, our first response is, why do I even care about that effed up guy over there?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, he's a mess. He's beating people up. He's a disaster. I bailed him out of jail, blah, blah, blah. Why would I even care about him? I don't know. But God did. And I'm trying to image God. So the one thing I can say about God is that he's really patient, gentle, humble, and yeah, gosh, it just hits me about what he's done in my life, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, he's not selfish. Of all the beings in the universe, it could be, it's all about me, which it is all about him. But to say, Philippians chapter 2, Jesus says, I'm everything. I'm God, right? I let go of that so I could serve that guy that's trash, right? So if we want to imitate God, so you want to know what a good man is? A man who's doing his best to bring God into every situation where God isn't. In your kid's life, in that brokenness in your wife's life or your girlfriend's life, in that person you meet in a parking lot's life. But I think God's always paying attention. So if we could start paying attention through those kind of eyes, we would say, going, I think I need to bring God into that situation. I'm not God.
Yeah.
But in Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, you're the light of the world, right? Here's the other thing is, if I don't bring light into that place, it's not just going to magically appear. I'm the light of the world. I'm the image of God in this guy's life right now. I'm not God. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I can't fix, change, convert, save anybody. But if God's going to be brought into that situation, that's a good man.
That's good.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Later.